Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Bonna Pfeiffer.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for the fine art needleworkers.
Yes.
Vonna on a Sunday. Whoa.
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, we got something special planned because we've been talking for like 16 months on Wednesday shows about doing something with samplers. So we decided since we never get to it, we're going to make a Sunday show out of it.
Yeah, Sampler Sunday.
Yeah, and if it goes well, we might do another one.
Yeah.
If it goes crappy, then you'll never hear it again, but you know. So we got a 50-50 shot here. All right, and this week we are this Sunday show sponsored by Sassy Jack's. Sassy Jack Stitchery. So we appreciate that. Thank you, Kim. And we've got a deal. We've got a deal for you. That'll come up in a minute. But first, we have to tell you about what's coming up at Sassy Jack's. So first is, and I think this is kind of cool, and this is right up your alley. They're going to be the host shop for the Primitive Stitcher Society gathering in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're part of that deal, right? You remember that group?
No, I'm not a part of that group. Sorry. Well, but I could go to the Merchant Mall.
Yeah, well, you can get into that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get into the Merchant Mall and the event that is coming up in 2020. I joined the group. I hope.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I hope they'll approve me. Do you think they'll approve me?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Well, I hope so. I feel the pressure.
You're Gary Parr, man.
I feel pressure. So the Facebook group, Primitive Stitcher Society's Facebook group, is where you find out about this event next year. And, I hope they approve me. I filled out all the forms and everything.
they'll approve you.
Yeah, they wanted me to list all the Facebook groups that I'm a member of, so I put down half of them.
Are you kidding? They wanted to know that?
Yeah, they wanted to know that. And then they wanted to know something about my stitching, so, yeah.
Nah.
I hope they'll approve me. I'm sure it'll be a committee thing, and yeah.
Yeah.
So Sassy Jacks is going to be the host shop for that next year. And then coming up, now this one, Kim mentioned this in the recorded programs that she did last couple times, but I'm kind of curious about this. Best Seal, August 2 through 4, is the Best Seal of Summerhouse Stitchworks, is going to do a finishing class on a make-do pin keep. That could be fun to do a finishing. Of course, for you, you know, that would be boring, but for me... would be interesting. So that's August 2 to 4. There's still room to get in on that. That'd be interesting for you to attend that and see if you learn anything.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, you probably would.
Yeah, I would. Everybody finishes differently. And there's, you can always pick up a tip or a technique that's, you know, better than yours.
Yeah. So
or
that's,
mine.
Yeah. Well, certainly better than mine. since I have no techniques. So that's August 2 to 4, and then the September soiree, something you and I have never attended, I'm sure.
No.
I don't even know what one is.
Well, it's a party, isn't it?
I think that's what it is. That's like fancy French for party, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with party. Yeah, I'm just going party. So anyway, that's there's no project. This is cool. There's no project. You just bring your favorite whips, work in progress, and some friends, and a food, fun, stitching space. And they're going to use that upstairs room where we had the Nicola class. And so that's excellent. Lots of daylight, lots of good lighting from the ceiling. Excellent place to stitch. And restrooms right nearby and... plenty of space, so you're not in there crowded. And so that's coming up in September. And it's $60. Registration is open. There's room. So you can do that. So sign up. The best thing to do with all these things Sassy Jacks has going on is to just get on their mailing list, their newsletter mailing list. And because Kim posted something just Friday or Saturday about the Nicola classes next year. And apparently people have been calling to get on the list. So it's not open yet. So the best thing to do is just go to Sassy Jack Stitchery and get on the mailing list, and then you'll get notification of all these events so you can register for them. Because for the Nicola thing, she's not taking registrations until they open it up, because you've got to be fair to everyone. And she's doing it so that if you attended this year's classes, you get first shot. And then everybody else has a shot after that. But if I didn't she say she was expanding the number?
Yes, she did. So, and that's fair. If you've been, you know, patronized the class, you know, before, that's fair that they get first shot too. So
yeah,
in my opinion. So
yeah, no, I think so. But then she's expanding, so it's not like if everybody takes that, then there's no more room.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because there's a lot of room in that upstairs space, so there's plenty. So that's coming up. Registration for that is coming up very soon. Just get on the list and you'll be better off. Then you'll get informed of all these things.
Right. And then she's got a if you're on Facebook, she's got a Facebook group, Sassy Jack's Facebook group too. And all of this that we're talking about is on the Facebook group too.
Right. So yeah, just connect that way and then you'll know what's going on.
Yeah.
So all that's coming up. And then also, the Queen sampler that our threads are on their way to us. So we're going to have the whole kit coming up this week sometime. But the kit, all right, Vanna, huh?
I had a little anxiety there.
Yeah, I felt that all the way here. I felt that little shake there, that little quiver.
Yowza.
Are you okay? Deep breath? Cleansing breath?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Cleansing breath.
Okay, we can move on.
Okay. Yeah, we can.
All right, I don't want to cause, you know, the heart thing or anything. So Kim put together a kit, and she's discounted it. So the threads and the linen are $150, and she has 30 full kits. So that's a lot. So $150, and that's a discount, I'm sure, quite a bit. And then the original Darlene Osteen chart, she can't discount that because she buys it from the person who buys it from the whatever. So $50 for that. And then the Linda Vinson stitch guide is $26. So the kit cost altogether is $226. But she's done a nice discount on the threads and linen for you. So that's a huge help because there's a lot of different threads and things in there. And so that's $226 for the whole deal. If you have the charts, then $150 for the threads and linen. And you can get in touch with her. And those kits are already set aside. They're already made up. So I'm sure they can get them in the mail right away. And then Vaughn and I, as soon as we get ours, then we'll start plotting. And we're going to have to get some. We may have to go and see if we can find some Qualudes for you. They don't even make them anymore, but we may have to try and find some just to, you know, get you kind of zoned down a little bit.
Whew.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to eat my Wheaties, pump myself up here.
Which opens the door about talking about your butt cheek shots, but we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. So
not today, on Sampler Sunday.
No. So, okay. Yeah. So Sampler Sunday. All right. So what we did is we have these samplers, stacks of samplers in front of us because the question was, you asked the question a while ago, what is it that gets us excited about samplers and what samplers?
Yeah.
So what we did is, well, you sent an order out to the warehouse. Oh, wait, you guys are on strike. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. They wanted the summer off and I wouldn't let them. And so they're striking now.
Oh, so pickets and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ugly.
Full blown.
That's ugly.
Yeah, it got a little ugly. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. So you had to go out to your own warehouse and find your own charts.
Yep, I had to find them all, and I've got a stack of them here.
Yeah, and I just went down to my little storage shelf and looked at mine and pulled out ones. But that was, I have a lot of them.
It's almost shocking, isn't it, when you start going through it and you see like the sheer quantity that you have.
Yeah.
And then you think, and then like I was last night, I was sitting and looking through samplers, you know, because it's like a, like I said, a fever in my blood here all of a sudden. And I was looking through them. I thought, oh, I want that one. Oh, let's go see. Can I find that one? And then finally it was like, are you nuts? You got to stop this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of scary. So
I know.
Okay. So we picked out the ones that get us more excited than excited. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That. So that's what we're going to do in this show is we're going to talk about those. Now I can't see your stack, but I can see my stack. We're never going to get through all of them.
No,
not going to happen. So that's where, if it goes well, then we can do another sampler Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If people like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Zero listeners. Okay.
Yeah.
Message received. So, so we're going to go through these and we're going to talk about them and what we like about them and just talk about samplers in general. But then the cool thing is that Kim at Sassy Jacks has put together a deal for you. So all the samplers that we talk about now on the list we sent her, there's a couple of them she doesn't have. But anyway, she's going to offer, if you buy a full kit, the chart and all the threads and linen, 15% off on all the ones we talk about. So 15% off of a kit. And if there are any, and one of them that's on the list to talk about is the Oofendel sisters. And, you know, we all know the story about that. People who got them and then there aren't any more. If you have that chart, then you can get 15% off the linen and threads for it, for both of them or one of them or whatever. So even if it's something like that that's not available, she had one or two others. So if you contact them and it's one of the two or three charts that she doesn't have that we talk about or can't get, then you can still get 15% off the thread and linen, you know, the rest of the kit. So either way, she'll fix you up and you'll save 15%.
Awesome.
So that's pretty cool. So be careful, Vanna.
Yeah, I know. And then if anybody has the Oofendel sisters and you don't want it anymore, contact me. Because you have the Oofendel sisters.
I do. Yeah. And I'm almost embarrassed. You know, it's one of those now it's become where I'm almost embarrassed to say I own one because so many people want one.
Yeah, I was stupid.
Yeah. So, yes, I do. So anyway, 15% off. So that's pretty good. I mean, that's really generous is what that is. Really generous.
Oh, that's very generous. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So, and she said she was going to put together something online to make it easier to order. But I also know that they have a big workshop going on this weekend. And so it's, yeah, you know, that getting stuff together on a website may not happen real soon. But either way, she said, just call or email with what you want, and she will fix you up on these that we talk about. Now, it's just the ones that we talk about in the show. It's not like every sampler in the world. It's just the ones we talk about in the show. And then also, she said shipping is flat rate shipping, so $4 in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. $4 in the U.S., And I'll tell you, that's good because we're trying to figure out how best to send out needle minders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, postage, painful. Jeez, yeah, no wonder it's such an issue. Jeez, what a pain. So we're trying to figure that out. And yeah, it adds cost. So when somebody says $4 for shipping for threads and linen and charts, that's pretty good. And then if it's international outside the U.S., which would be by definition international. I'm a quick one.
Oh shoot, you're sharp today.
Oh yeah, like a blunt object. International is $10 flat rate, so $4 U.S. Posting, shipping, and $10 international. So that's good because then you don't get hit with a big extra charge for that. So 15% off anything we talk about today, and then flat rate shipping. And you just contact the folks at Sassy Jacks, and they will put things together. She already has the list, so she's already made sure that she has the material and or can get it very quickly. So there shouldn't be long delays in getting this stuff. Matter of fact, she should be able to send most stuff out right away. So that's really good. I say that like we're going to do a stitch along. We're not doing stitch alongs on any of this stuff. We're just talking about them. There we have it. I think that's great. Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, thank you, Kim.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through and just talk about these that we've selected. And ideally, we would have it be in a studio with each other, and we'd have cameras, and we'd have the pictures filling the screen and all that. But, that ain't happening. So what we're going to do is every podcast has its own page at wetalkfiber.com. And on that page, there's a player so you can listen to the podcast if you don't listen to it through your app. And I really recommend you listen to it through an app on your phone. It's much more efficient and better. And then right below that is always a link to our FlossTube channel. And on the FlossTube channel, we have what I do with these is we'll put the podcast up there, and then I'll put still photos that change every so often throughout the podcast. Usually they're related to what we're talking about. So this time what I will do is I will put up on the FlossTube video in order as we're talking about them, pictures of each of these samplers. And then on the FiberTalk thing, so if you're a podcast listener on the FiberTalk page, if you have something you want to see, it'll be in a slideshow. So there'll be a slideshow on that page, and you can just rifle through and see all of the pictures of all the samplers that we talk about. So either way, you can see them, and then obviously, if you want to buy something, that will help you decide what you want to buy, and then FiberTalk made me buy it, gets you off the hook when you spend the money, et cetera.
That's right.
Except at the Fiber household, but that's,
Yeah. Yeah, it helps. That does help, and that's good for us, or for Gary, because then that way that gets, people to know, vendors to know that, hey, Gary's helping drive some sales, and then he can get some sponsorships. So make sure you use that.
That's how the world turns. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Please.
How the world turns. Yep.
Please mention that you heard it on Fiber Talk if you buy something that we mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does help. So that's how we're going to do it. So let's get going. You start.
Okay. My first set of samplers is by Needlework Press. And these are ones that I just absolutely love, and I have a couple of them I've loved for years, and I've never stitched them, but I have them out and I look at them all the time. The first one is a new one. It was released to the public in February or March at the Nashville Needlework Market. It is Sarah Stewart Hardman, 1824. And the reason I love this, because when I first looked at it, it reminded me of a sampler that had made the rounds on blogs many, many years ago when everybody had a blog. The name of that sampler was Ann Rayner, R-A-Y-N-O-R. And it seemed like in like 2009, 2010, that era, everybody was stitching Ann Rayner. And the design company that reproduced that sampler was Threads Through Time, and I believe the designer's name was Nancy Sturgeon. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's who it was. It was definitely Threads Through Time. And I loved it. Why didn't I buy it? I don't know. I didn't buy it, and guess what? I don't have it, and I want to stitch it, and I've had for like the last 5 or 6 years a search on eBay for Ann Rayner, and it's never popped up. I've never had it pop up for me. So anyways, that's why Ivana is a hoarder, and because I don't buy things and then I like them 10 years later. So anyways, Sarah Stewart Hardman appeals to me because of the house and the pastoral scene, and it has a very nice verse on it and an undulating floral border. But I think the house is what does it for me. And it's got a lot of pops of red in it, and I really like the red color. So Sarah Stewart Hardman is like one, I have it kitted, and I have it in like a little project bag, and it's in my Stitch cart, and I would really love to start this soon. It's a biggie, but well, I mean, not too big, I guess. Let me think. Let
oh, 18 by 27 on 40 count.
Yeah, yeah.
That's healthy.
Yeah, so that's what I like. I like her a lot. And then the second one that I like from Needle Work Press was first released in a antique quarterly. What was that? Sampler and Antique Needlework Quarterly, that magazine that is defunct now. And it's called 1854 Isabella Johnstone. Why do I like that? The cow. It has a cow in the middle and an alphabet. I do like alphabets too. And that's one that I like copied it when it first came out. That it came out like in, oh gosh, it was a long time ago. And about the same time that Ann Rayner, everybody was doing Ann Rayner. They were all doing this Isabella Johnstone. I love this one a lot. And
did the hoarder in you buy this one?
Well, see, I subscribed to the magazine.
Oh, okay.
So I had it in the magazine. So, yeah, I just love it. I don't know. And it's a simple sampler. I mean, it's not like it's got a couple, three alphabets across the top, the cow, a little, you know, her name and rot by. And I mean, it's a simple sampler. I don't think it would probably take that long to do because it says here 22 by 17 piece at 28 count. And that's with the, you know, to frame it. So
that's not very big at all then.
No, yeah. 219 by 154 wide. So that's not bad at all. So that's the second one that I like. And the third one is Jane Tindall, 1864, also a Needlework Press. If I haven't forgotten, this was making the rounds around the same time that Ann Rayner was making the rounds. And this was originally reproduced or stitched by Tanya Brockmeyer, who is the Scarlet House for Needlework Press. So she reproduced it, stitched to the model, and under the Needlework Press before she had her own company. So this was released in 2010. So see, it's all that same era. If I bought all these other ones, I mean, Hardman is new, but if I have all these others, why did I not buy Ann Rayner? See, I'm kicking myself. Why did I not buy it? Because it appealed to me. Jane Tindall is another, it's a pastoral scene with sheep, a little shepherd guy and trees, a lot of red. You know, it just, when we talk about samplers here today, you'll see that that's a recurring theme for me is the color red, houses, animals, pastoral scenes. That just does it for me every time.
Where does that come from? Because even in your other designs, when you stitch like smalls for ornaments and stuff, you always tend to have those kinds of scenes.
Yeah.
Related. Is that where you know, related to where you grew up, or how does that?
You know, I think that it does. It's hearth and home to me. I'm all about hearth and home. You know, I grew up in Hobstad, Indiana, which is a very small farming community. About 1,800 people live there. And my grandfather was a farmer and a dairyman. So I don't know. I guess that is what it is. I know that when I grew up, I read a lot. And the books that appealed to me were always kind of hearth and home, Little House on the Prairie, Beverly Cleary books. I've read all of those books. Little House on the Prairie, I have like three sets of them. Even to this day, I still have three sets. I have the paperback set, I have the hardback set, and then I have the set that they came out that was colored. The pictures in the was colored. I don't know why I have all. I mean, it's just, and you know, think about Little House on the Prairie, and that's the same thing that I like, and I don't know what it is. That just appeals to me. I guess that's just who I am, you know, and that's what it does for me. So those are my first three. I would love to start any of those at any time. But then, I have Sarah going, and we're going to have the Queen Sampler here coming in soon. So do I have time? Jane Tindall's is a huge piece, and it's that bottom, when y'all look at the picture, the bottom is like 5 miles of green grass.
Yeah, that's just rock solid stitching. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's beautiful. And if you put Jane Tindall in for a search and look at images, you can see just by pictures that people have of it, you know, that you can, on the internet, you can see how large, that's a large piece. And most of those are stitched on, you know, like 40 count or higher. So anyways, those are my top three, Gary. So what's yours now?
Well, that's a pretty good collection. Interesting. It's interesting. Little House on the Prairie, how that reaches people, you know, what a series. 'Cause I don't have a lot of memories from my elementary days. I don't know why. I don't, you know, I'm not one who clings to personal history much anyway, but that is one that sticks out. And I couldn't tell you what grade or what teacher, but when we would have story time, and she read Little House on the Prairie. And I think she read it all year long to us. So it would be a chapter a day or something like that.
Right.
And I don't remember how many books we got through, not very many, but I always remember that. And I always remember it was, you know, it just had me locked in that whole effort to make a home on the prairie and learning and, you know, fighting nature and all that. And, so that always, every time that comes up, my mind goes right back to that classroom. And,
right.
Yeah. It's, you know, those kinds of stories that just stand the test of time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not only the stories, but even the television show with Michael Landon and Melissa Gilbert. You know, I was, when that was popular on television, I was like 7 or 8 years old. And I think, you know, a very impressionable time of childhood, because you're not a baby anymore, but you're not yet old enough to be like a big girl or whatever. And I can just remember tuning in and watching Little House on the Prairie on the television. And that's what originally got me interested in reading the books, was the television show.
Oh, so you went the reverse then. Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't know anything about the books. You know, I watched the television show, and then one Christmas, I think it was when I was 10 years old, my parents bought me the entire set of I got it from Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And I just voraciously plowed through the whole set. I mean, and I was a fast reader too. And that was my thing. I was a reader. You know, think about that. That I grew up in the 70s. I was born in 1970. So I was 10, when I was 10 years old, that was 1980. And so the 70s and 80s was my childhood. And, I was a voracious reader. We didn't watch television much. You know, you didn't have cable then, really. And we didn't have cable because I lived in, you know, Podunk, Indiana. I didn't have cable until I was like in college. We didn't have it at our house until I was like an adult. But I can remember wanting to babysit when I was in high school because other people in the town had cable. We kind of lived out in the country, and I'd always want to go watch, the like music videos on.
Oh yeah.
So anyways, but I voraciously read Little House. I bet you I've read him probably 5 or 6 times the whole series through. And then that I read her adult autobiography that she wrote, you know, about her life and, you know, after in adulthood, and Rose wrote, 'cause her daughter Rose was also an author. I've read all of that. And, you know, she set out, Laura Ingalls Wilder set out to write those books just for, for the memories of her father and mother, because of what they sacrificed for their family. And she says that in her adult autobiography, that, you know, she did it because of her memories of her family, and she wanted to preserve that for posterity, I guess. So anyways, yeah, Little House on the Prairie, it's all about that. That's just a hearth and home. If you think about the television show, you think about the books, it's just all about hearth and home, and that just really appeals to me.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go.
All right. Mine, it's this is probably not one that gets a lot of, I know it doesn't get talked about much. And it was interesting that on the day here that we're recording this, which when people hear it will be 2 weeks prior, Mandy O'Callaghan posted, and this is where I had a professional streak where I actually wrote down the name of the person who contributed something. I was kind of excited. So Mandy O'Callaghan posted somewhere and tagged Fiber Talk that she was starting this one, Lydia Barnes Pigeon, P-I-D-G-E-O-N, 1827, from Scattered Seed Samplers. And I had that right at the top of my stack when I read that, because, of course, I got a notification. And I had that right at the top of my stack because it's a little one. It's a smaller sized chart. And so I had it on top so it wouldn't get buried somewhere. And I thought, by golly, I'm going to make that the first one I talk about. So thanks, Mandy.
Yeah.
It's, Scattered Seed. Tammy Black is the reproducer. Scattered Seed Samplers, Antique Reproduction Samplers, yes. You know, it's interesting as I've looked at these this one has many of the same elements that we find in Hands Across the Sea samplers.
Yeah, it does.
And that appeals to me. The flower pots, the border, I can take or leave most of the verses and sayings, whatever. But the other parts, and this has a nice symmetry to it. And then it has the deer. I forget what they call it in England.
The heart.
Yes. Sitting on a mound with a fence. And it's not a really big sampler. What is it? On 40 count, 14 by 14.
That isn't very big, but it looks big.
Yeah. But it's just a beautiful thing. And, I don't remember where I found it. I think somebody mentioned it to me. And I immediately went and found it and bought it. Unlike some, when I see something that I like, then I buy it and then I have it instead of wondering, if I'll ever get it.
Right.
Yeah. Because I've heard of people that, if I could just get that one. But I have it right here. So that's how that works.
I know. So that was stupid.
Yeah. If anyone has Ann Rayner and they want to, sell it to Fauna for a nominal fee, help the woman out. She's just, it's just one of those gaps in life that she just can't get over. So help her out. It's just tragic.
It is.
It's tragic. So anyway, Lydia Barnes Pigeon. I like this one. And it's not, the border has a couple layers. The outer border reminds me of stitching on a baseball. Nice. Doesn't it look like it?
Yeah. I was looking, I was like, what's the outer border? What is that? And then I saw it. Yeah, it does.
There's like three layers of border, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah. And it has this, what struck me when you said this was your top one, it's in the same colors that's in Sarah. Did you notice that?
No, I did not.
It is.
That must be why it sticks with me.
It to me, it has a lot of the same elements that Sarah has.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's Sarah Brazier. I don't know what it is about that, but even going through this process, and I have several Hands Across the Sea sampler charts, and Sarah Brazier, I don't know what it is. She just sticks out for me.
She sticks out for me too.
Yeah, there's something about that. So Lydia Barnes Pigeon Scattered Seed Sampler, there's my starter right there. All right.
Okay. You want to do another one since I did three?
Okay. Then the next one I would do, and this one I picked up at, this is Vineyard, V-I-N-E-Y-A-R-D, Vineyard Sampler, Periwinkle Promises, Barbara Rakusnik. Rakusnik. I don't know. Let's see here. I was just trying to see how old this is. Because I've had it for a while. I got it at the attic. And Gene had a, 2001, so not too old. Gene had a model up there, and it's just beautiful. It uses overdyes. That's what appealed to me here. There's not really, it's pretty simple, and has a little white work, which that the samplers that have white work in them, boy, I'll tell you, they suck me in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah. In case you hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
But just a beautiful job of overdyes. And I really, I like it. I like the border. And then there's just, it's really kind of a band sampler in a frame.
Yeah.
With the, and you can see how the overdyes just work really well. But the center band there where it has some grapes on a vine. Mm-hmm. Just some really nice looks. But I like the two bands with the white work. I think they're really nice. So, yeah, I just bought that. It was just kind of a whim thing. And going through this thing, I'd actually forgotten I even owned it. And I have not forgotten now. I'll be hanging on to this one. I got to do this one.
It's not very big, is it?
No, I don't think so. No. As I try to look quickly here.
It doesn't appear to be.
12 by 16 linen. The model stitched on 29 count, 12 by 16 linen. So on 40 count, which is what I would do it on. Yeah, we're talking about a pretty small sampler. So this would be a quick stitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a Vana size sampler here.
Yeah, that's snack size.
Yep. So, so Vineyard Sampler would be from Periwinkle Promises. I don't know. I assume you can still get it. I'm pretty sure you can still get it from Gene Lee at the Attic. I'm pretty sure of that. And it was one of those. And white stuff always appeals to me. I don't know why I don't do more white work, because it really does. White on white just always appeals to me. The textures and the and so this one stands out. And it reminded me of the first. You know, I'm an idiot. So when the first cross stitching I did was. I don't know, some Mickey Mouse little thing. And that was back in the days when there was a store every 3 feet. And the first class I took, though, was the object of the class was learn to stitch on linen.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I got to see what this is all about. And so I took a class, and of course, the only male in the class. And back in those days, I was a real weird standout. But it was a sampler about this size, and has some white bands on it, and I finished it and had it framed, and it still hangs up near my stitching table. I'm still proud of that. And you know how you go back something that old and you go, oh, I'll bet that's a wreck if I look at it really close. I bet it's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, loose stitches and all kinds of stuff. No, I have to say, I'd show you that. I'd show that to you today.
Really?
Yeah, I was pretty pleased because in doing this, I thought, you know, is that really, did I really do that good a job on it for somebody who'd never stitched on linen or stitched on anything with that high of a thread count? And yeah, I'm pretty pleased with it. It held up. So I'll take it. Yeah.
Awesome.
So there we go. All right. What's next for you?
Okay. The next one for me is just a relatively new to my array or my knowledge of anything samplers, because this is relatively, although I've always enjoyed samplers in the history, I've not been a reproduction sampler type stitcher. Really. I've completed 4 reproductions in my repertoire hanging on my wall. I went and counted today because I was not sure how many I had, but I have 4. And so my next 4 samplers are all Bristol Orphanage samplers.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, what turned me on to these was Hands Across the Sea Samplers, Harriet Salt, 1866, which was just a newly released like a month ago sampler. And I have the entire kit, and what appealed, because it's not pastoral, right? Because I said, you know, I like pastoral, but I also am a very orderly, ordered look type person, and Harriet Salt, I mean, it's just very orderly, you know?
Yep. Well, that one and that one, and I have a video coming up that I did with Nicola when I was at Sassy Jack's.
Uh-huh.
Where she had the original and then the reproduction.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of these kinds of samplers at all. I couldn't care less, quite frankly.
Gary!
Sorry. It's just not my deal. But this one, I will say, even though I'm not a fan, really stands out. It's beautiful.
I just do not understand. It appeals to me. I don't know why, really. But as soon as I saw it, you know, with the two that she released, as soon as I saw it, it was like, I have to have that. So I got it and it got here. And then it was like, I had to like learn about these Bristol Orphanage samplers, right? And so I've read in the last month a lot about the Bristol Orphanage, about the samplers that were from that orphanage, and it's just turned me on to a whole new line of sampler reproductions. But the next one, and I don't have this, and it's out of print, of course, is Louisa Cooleymore which is also Hands Across the Sea. And it appears from everything that I've read and saw that it is a smaller Bristol sampler, also red, you know, also all red work. Just beautiful. That one's beautiful too. The next one, I actually do have this one. Emma Sandford, 1867, and it's by Dutch Treat Designs, also a reproduction from the orphan homes of Bristol. Love it. Got it. The next one, and it's my final one for Bristol Orphanage samplers, is M.A. Tipper, T-I-P-P-E-R, and that is by, we can't talk about samplers without talking about the Scarlet Letter. And she is a huge reproduction designer that has a large, large, large repertoire of reproductions that she has done in her lifetime. And M.A. Tipper is from a private collection that allowed her to reproduce it. And it is very similar to Harriet Salt.
So that's M.A. Tipper?
Yeah, T-I-P-P-E-R, by the Scarlet Letter.
Oh, here, I see it now. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well, that looks awful lot like Harriet Salt, doesn't it?
Yes, very much so.
Very close. And, very close. Wow.
Yeah, very close. And that is all. It's like long and skinny, whereas Harriet long. I mean, it's wide too, but it's like skinnier than what Harriet's is. I like the overall look of Harriet's better, but I do like M.A. Tipper too. So Harriet Salt, Emma Sandford, M.A. Tipper, and Louisa Cooleymore, who I have been on the hunt for. I have to do all of them. I have to own all of them. I would like to do all, wouldn't a wall of just red type Bristol samplers be, wouldn't that be beautiful? In my mind, it would be beautiful. I know that you said that that's not your thing, but to me, that would be very appealing to me. For some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, it would be impressive. I will say that.
It would be impressive, wouldn't it? Because all of these samplers are, like, huge.
Yeah.
I think that Louisa, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, Cooleymore, it's C-O-U-L-I-M-O, yeah, Cooleymore, I think is her name. Anyways, that one's not as big as any, like, M.A. Tipper, Harriet Salt, or Emma Sandford. It appears to be smaller than you know, maybe like a lunch size.
As opposed to a snack, okay.
So,
Yeah.
That's what I think. They are really appealing to me. And so I have just really been wanting to start Harriet Salt since it came in the mail, and I've held myself back because I know, again, that I've gotten more than I can chew right now with other things, but I certainly would like to start that in the near future because I just think it's beautiful. And how it would be easy, you know, it's just thread and needle, the same color and go. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's amazing to me how close Tipper and Salt are to, I mean, they're almost, they're almost identical, like they stitched them together.
Yeah.
The thing with Harriet Salt is, well, number one, I'll tell you about the original, and you'll see it in the video. But in terms of stitching, there's so many little short bands of designs that you could sit down and do one a night and easily accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you just go right through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that they're so closely looking, and they are very close looking. M.A. Tipper stitched hers in 1868. Harriet stitched hers in
1866. Oh. Hmm.
So, there you go.
Maybe young Miss Tipper was borrowing ideas
from Miss Salt. Yeah.
Maybe. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Or it might have been a teacher that was there at the orphanage at that time that was just teaching, you know, similar bands and things like that. So
yeah, that's what I've come to conclude with a lot of these is that it's the teacher that's saying, just do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the Sanford one is very much different. Well, and that one is, you know, Emma Sanford's very different. She must have had a different teacher because hers was in 1867.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a year in between Harriet and M.A. Tipper. Yeah. So anyways, I don't know. They appeal to me. I want to stitch. I really want to start Harriet. And now that you're saying, oh, well, you can just sit down and do, you know, like one thing. You know, that is true. I could do that. So maybe I need to just like start that soon because it really appeals to me. I just really want to have one.
No, it's really striking. And yeah, once you get the alphabet part done, that bottom half is, to me, that's, you know, a little short band a night and you can bang that right out. Yeah. That is, you don't have to change colors. You don't have to do, all right, 10 stitches of blue and 4 stitches of red. You just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have like 6, 7, 8 needles threaded and just go one right after the other.
Oh, that's exactly what I would do. I'd have thread up a bunch of them and just keep going. Yep.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's beautiful. The, in the video, you'll see the original, which is less than half the size of the reproduction.
And
it looks like Nicola commented, she said it looks like she stitched it on a bed sheet.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Basically whatever cloth we have, whatever thread we have, make it work. And it's beautiful that on that small size. But then when you look at the model, no, I'll take the model every day because it really, yeah, it really strikes. It's just it's, even though I don't like them, that one does catch my eye. I have to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That one, as soon as I saw that, when it came out the day that she released it, I watched the video and that one just like, I don't know. I don't, like I said, I don't know what it is, but when I've learned that when something hits me like that, just get it.
Get it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that's what I did. I ordered it the same day as that I saw her video come out about it. So.
Yep. No, good ones. That would be, yeah. And you're right. That would be a nice, if you had all of them on a wall, that would be a nice series.
Yeah, it would just be striking. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, the one thing, it's not a pastoral scene, but it's red. And
red speaks to
one
you.
Of my, yeah, I just like red.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Now, do you have so let's just stick our toe down the old rabbit hole here. Do you have a favorite red that you would do all of these in if you did them all?
Well, you know, funny that you should say that because so when I got the Harriet Salt kit, it came with that, I can't say it,
Auvera Soie?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think it was that because I got the 40 count. It wasn't the 103 spool things. It was a skein. So that makes it different than whatever. So anyways, that is that, even though you can see on the cover model for Harriet, that's very red. You know, that's like Christmas tree red. And there's no, you know, it's not an overdyed, so there's not different colors of red or anything like that.
Right.
And I like that. I think I like that. That just solid red look. I like it on this. My favorite overdyed red when I'm in stitching, like, you know, just normal stuff is, cherry cobbler, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Cherry cobbler from Crescent, or not Crescent Cobbs. cherry cobbler from, Classic Colorworks. I love that. I have loved that ever since it first came out. I do not have less than 15 skeins in my of it in my stitching thread shed for, you know, that's what I love that red, and I will routinely switch out reds to that red.
Is that solid? That's a solid red?
It is a variegated. Oh. So it's an over dye. So it is variegated, and it's, but the variegation isn't so slappy in the face that it is, like, you know what I mean? It's not that variegated. Yeah. And it's just a nice, deep, not Christmas glaring red, just a nice, deep, subtle red. I just love that red. And so I use that a lot. Another good red is Sister Scarlet from Belle Soie. That is a lovely red. And I have that too. But
would you do these in a variegated thread, though?
I don't think so. No,
I wouldn't.
No, I don't think so. No, it already looks a little mottled just because of the denseness of the stitches on the bands. You know, there's different, you know, it looks lacy some places, so that makes it look a little bit lighter red. It looks very thick and heavy, so darker red in other places. And to me, if you used an over dye in that, that would just, like, muddle the eye. You know what I mean? That would just confuse the eye.
Yeah.
So,
no, these need to be solid. I mean, they need to be solid because I think that's the way they look best, but also for me, out of respect for the history.
Right.
Yeah. They need to be solid reds. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I'm glad that you said something about respect for the history, because I never understood this until, like, the last year that I've been reading stuff and listening to, like, you know, Kit and Stitch, Teresa Vanette, and other people on FlossTube, you know, and since you've kind of gotten me into this reproduction stitching stuff, I've read, you know, that's my way. I'll read and study and learn and stuff. And, you know, there are reproductions which are completely true to what the girl stitched or the boy stitched, you know, every stitch, even the mistakes, that's a true reproduction. Then you have people like Blackbird Samplers. Blackbird Designs does this a lot, where they have the real sampler, and rather than completely reproducing stitch for stitch what the stitcher did, they adapt it. So you have adaptations. And, you know, it doesn't bother me one way or the other, but if I'm going to stitch a reproduction, I am going to stitch it true to what the girl did. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
That to me holds. Now, I don't mean it has to be like the same color and all that stuff, because, you know, some people will reproduce to what the color, what the thread looks like on the front, even though it may be faded. Some designers will go back and get the colors from the back where it's not been faded, you know, and they can tell more what the color is. I'm not so, that doesn't bother me, like colors. You know, I don't care about that really, but I do think that the stitching, I want to stay true to what the girl, if I'm going to stitch a reproduction sampler, I want to stitch it true to what the girl stitched originally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm the same way. To me, would even be hesitant to change the colors from whatever the reproducer decided was the best interpretation.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I wouldn't change it either. And that's why, I mean, I think that there's so many designs in the world that aren't antique reproductions that where you can just like go off the chain doing whatever you want to do. You know, that's what that's different. But I think that for the honor of the girl that stitched that sampler to me, I want to do it as true to form as I can do. I don't like the colors. I don't really care if they do it from the faded side or the back side. I don't care. I just, you know, I'm just going to do it as true to form as I can, because that is respectful to that stitcher. And another thing that I was going to say and about all this is that in one of the Sassy Jack videos that they did when Nicola was there, Kim said that she always has her model stitchers stitch their name in the sampler somewhere so that 200 years from now, people don't think, oh my gosh, look, this is a 500-year-old sampler. Look at this. Yeah. And that might be like only 2 year old, you know, 200 years old or whatever in the future. And that I didn't ever do that on my other reproduction samplers. Now I have it on the back. I've written it on the back, what it is and all that stuff, and signed my name. But, you know, that's on the back of the framing. And from now on, I am somewhere discreetly, not some big blaring, here it is, my name, but I, you know, I'm going to discreetly sign my, you know, sew my name in with the date on the somewhere on the samplers, because I thought that was important too, the, what Kim said about that, you know, that you don't want people to think, you know, 500 years from now that here's this 1,000-year-old sampler or whatever.
Right.
So anyways.
Well, and I think it should be on there anyway. And I know one of the neat things that Nicola has started doing is the card that she puts in that has the thread numbers, the bookmark card that she puts in, which I just, to me, I think it's one of the most excellent innovations that we've seen. But she now is on the back side, setting it up so you can put your name and what linen you used and so on and so forth that you could just put inside the back of the frame. And I thought, you know, that's a really good idea. So, And I think there is with these reproduction samplers, I'm with you. I think that there's a respect for the history, and to go very much off the path, I think is, you really should stick to it. It's,
right. Well, I think of it as too, as you know, this person is dead, and in respect for the person that's of the, you know, the dead, that I would want to be as true, because I think about, you know, like what was she doing when she was stitching this sampler? You know, what was her life like? What was her problems? What was her joys? What was her sorrows? You know, I think of that when I'm stitching it. I've thought about that when I'm stitching Sarah Brazier. Like, what was she thinking when she did these dancing turkeys? What, you know, is this a turkey? What is this? You know, I think about that. And I just would like, I know, like in this day and age when, you know, as a finisher, I get copied a lot, you know, and I'm not saying that I don't, you know, what is that? Copying is the highest form of flattery. That's awesome. You know what I mean? But when I'm copied and then somebody doesn't give me credit for it, that irritates me a lot.
That's the different dimension there. Yes.
Yeah. And so I want to be respectful of these girls because I don't want to be a copycat that doesn't give credit where credit is due. And that happens a lot to me. And that's very irritating to me. And so that's, I guess that's one of the things, a stickler of it. Now, you know, and there's people that will say this is based off of a schoolgirl sampler or a sampler or an adaptation of that. And I know some of the really staunch reproduction sampler stitchers will like go off the rails angry about it, you know, can like be angry about it. And I don't care, you know, if it's a if it's an adaptation, it's an adaptation.
If you're upfront about it, about it, so what? Yeah.
And then you can sew your own name in there because it's an adaptation. It's not a true reproduction of someone else's work. It's something that's based on that, but not a true, you know, I mean, so I can understand that. And then you can put whatever name you want to put on there. But when I'm going to stitch a true reproduction sampler where the you know, the designer has charted every stitch for stitch for stitch for stitch. I'm going to do it just like the designer stitched it or charted it, because that's respect to that person that stitched it, you know, however many years ago.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that's owed them.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. Because think about the time. We know how long it takes to stitch something, and the time and the, you know, care that they took to create it, and it's still here. You know what I mean? It's
right,
still here.
Right.
You know, and it's like the, you know, some of these samplers are older than the Declaration of Independence. You know what I mean? And you just think about that, and it just like almost gives me the goosebumps when I think about it. And, you know, somebody loved that sampler through the generations long after the person that stitched it died, for it to be still around. And so I want to give honor to that person in the reproduction that I stitch. So,
yeah, well, that's that one that's going to be the workshop at Sassy Jack's next year that we got to see this year when it got taken out of the frame, you mm-hmm. know, almost 400 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, all right, I'm looking at an excellent and a very, very nice piece of stitching. But what was really in my head when we looked at that was 400 years and we have it right here in front of us.
Right.
And it's cloth. You know, it's not a bronze statue or a piece of marble that you would expect to last. It's a relatively perishable piece of art. And we have it right here.
Right.
And yeah, okay, if I'm going to reproduce that, then yeah, I need to respect that. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, being scientifically, science minded, like I am, you know, I've read things where they say where some designers have in their write up about, are there, you know, what are they, like smart people that are looking at these samplers. they'll say that they can see under magnification, like hair stitched, you know, and that happens to my, you know, I find my hair stitched into things, and they'll say that they'll find fibers, you know, strands of hair that have been caught on the fiber of, you know, that they were stitching with, and it's stitched into the sampler. You know, if the I've thought of this too, like the girl's DNA is on there, whether it's in a strand of hair or in a saliva when they lick their thread to go thread through the needle. You know, think about that. That's
right.
Their DNA is on that piece. And so you have, like, when that opened up, which was that the original framing? Did Nicola say?
As far as we knew, yeah.
So think about that. So her DNA, her dust during that time period, you know, whatever, it was in that frame.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like almost like the Ark of the Covenant or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, wow, think about that. So,
well, that's just that's it. Just yeah. Like, it's nothing but history.
Right.
Yeah. All the way through. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you go to Monticello and you walk through the hallowed halls of Monticello and you see Andrew, you know, Thomas Jefferson's this or that, or you go to the Hermitage and you see Andrew Jackson's bed that he died in, or whatever. You know, that's like, people are like awed about that. And I'm awed to a level of almost, sometimes I can almost get weepy if I think about it, about these girls that stitch these samplers. And so that it's just, to me, that's awesome. Probably somebody, you know, two houses down wouldn't think that same thing if I would go and talk to him about schoolgirl samplers. But to me, that this is my hobby. This is what I love. And to me, it's almost like sacred, almost, you know, I just really want to be true when I do a reproduction sampler from here on out. I'm going to be very true to what the girl stitched.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yep. There's a dimension to that that we don't have with other needlework. Yep.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yep. All right. Let's get one more in here. Oh, man.
Okay.
My stack. We didn't get. Yeah, well.
I know. If you saw my stack, we're going to have another sampler Sunday.
All right. We'll do it. We'll do it. Because in my stack, you know, this is unfair, but I do have the Ofendel chart. I'll show you sometime. You can look at it.
Yeah. That makes me mad. I didn't get that. Gary knows I don't have it. So that's how come he's haunting me with the Ufendelf sisters.
It's sweet. Yeah. Someday I'll let you look at it.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
You know, just for a little bit, you can look at it.
Okay. Thanks.
As long as you don't bend the corners or anything. Yeah. So, yeah. So I have that one. And then the other one is Lucy Calcutt.
Yeah.
Now I have the first one, but then the one that she did the year after, I don't have. I got to get that.
Okay, now tell me about that, because I don't know the one she did one year, and then she did a second one the second year. Is that true?
Correct. Yeah, because Krista Kramer. Oh, yes, Krista Kramer.
I think.
Yeah, she reproduced both of these. So yeah, the 1825. That's the first one that Krista did. And that was a Nashville release last year in 17. No, in 18. And then the one that she did, that Lucy Calcutt did the year after, then was the release this year. And I just haven't purchased it. And I need to get that, because to me, there's that history. See, there's that history again, is to have this young lady did two large samplers.
Mm-hmm.
In two consecutive years. Now, what this 40 count, the original is, the design is 13 and a half by 19 and a half. So she did that, and then a year later, she cranked out another one.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just going to set aside the one I was going to talk about. We'll talk about Lucy Calcutt. Because what really got me with the new one is I think, you know, personal opinion, somebody who has half a clue, I think there's a significant maturity in the second one, in that, all right, I did the first one, now a year later, I can do better. I can go a level or two better, and I really think it's visible, and immediately visible. And so to have those two next to each other and be able to say, this young lady did this one this year and this one this year, the next year, number one, how many of us can crank two out of that size in 2 years?
Right.
Number one. But look at the difference. Look at how she's grown and matured. Look how her eye is so much more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, when you talk about the history, I think that gives you some insight into the little girl of growing up. And so I want to have both of those, and I want to stitch them just to have that.
And didn't you say that one time when we were just talking ourselves, didn't you tell me that you wanted to have the Lucy Calcutts and the Ufendels all together?
Yep, I do. Because the Ufendels to me are to have sisters, and they're both gorgeous samplers, both of them, absolutely gorgeous. And to have those two side by each, again, the history, these two sisters, because, you know, how many sisters can operate at the same level? Because sisters tend to, and brothers too, you know, there'll be one who will be more sports oriented, more, you know, there's always a difference in personalities. And these two just go together so nicely that, and yet there's a very distinct difference between the two. And
There is a very distinct. Yeah. And see, I'm still kicking myself about that too, because I didn't understand when it first came out that it was limited. I didn't understand that. I mean, I guess I didn't pay attention to it. Yeah. And I thought it was pretty when it first came out. And that just irritates me. But I don't have it. But anyways,
They went away, and you know, and literally there are none to be had. So
no, there are none to be had, and if there is any to be had, they go for hundreds of dollars on eBay.
Yeah,
and
that's bothersome to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. But anyways, yeah, that the Ufendels and that Lucy Calcutt. Now the Lucy Calcutt number one. So that's 1825 one.
Right.
Was, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that her original sampler that the designer bought was missing like some area, and so she chose not to chart anything to that area.
Right. Yeah.
Out of respect for this for the girl.
Yeah, upper left, right under her name is a blank area. Yeah, she okay. decided to leave that blank. You could easily take what's on the right and fill in on the left if you wanted to. But see, there again, I would not do that. If we don't know what was there, if it was left blank, then to me, that's the way it stays.
Yeah.
But
and I will say it's beautiful.
Yes.
And she was on, Krista was on Fiber Talk, if right. I'm not right, wrong, right?
Yeah, yeah, when she had the first one, the 1825 one, yes, we had her on, yes. And why I haven't had her back for the next one, I don't know. I can't answer that one. But I just love looking at those two. I got to get that chart. I need to order that.
Well, I think I'm going to order it as soon as we hang up. Fiber Talk made me do it.
Yeah, made me buy it. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Keith, it's out of my hands, Keith. Simply out of my hands.
They are beautiful. If you look at them both side by side, if you bring, because I don't have either one of them, but if you pull up, you know, if you look, put in Lucy Calcutt and just look through images, you can get two of them and put them side by side. They are beautiful, and they would be beautiful as a pairing on a sampler wall.
Do you see the maturity that I see?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So I'm not nuts.
Yeah. No, you're not.
In this instance.
No, yeah, other instances, oh yeah, I might be a little nutty.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No problem.
Yeah, I just think that's a special little example of a young lady growing up.
Yeah, it is. And that's and I have had that on my list of things to get for probably 2 years. And then when I saw this one this year, so whenever it came out, it was on my first, you know, I wrote it down. Yeah. And then I saw this one this year, and I was like, what is that? Is that the same girl? What is that? Lucy Calcutt. That's what happened last year. And I just thought at first glance that it was just the same person there again with the same
Yeah, no. No.
And I didn't realize it was the same girl a different year until I like dug into it. And the second one is just as beautiful as the first one. But I think that, yes, it's a little more refined than what the first one is. Yeah.
So cool, I think. Yep.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yep. All right, we got to call it there. That was fun.
That was fun. Ooh, we got to do another Sampler Sunday. So if people want us to do another Sampler Sunday, because I still have a whole stack of things to talk about.
Me too.
You need to let us know.
Yep. Yeah, we could go on for an hour more. Easy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. All right, that was terrific. Thanks, Vonna.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.